Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yep. These cats. These cats.
This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, Intergalactic Pervert Studios. Yeah, I got this.
Intergalactic Pervert Studios? That's what I heard.
Corner of Trash View and Not a Vista.
Yeah, the trash look is the really emphasis is on Trash View. Get your head out of the gutter there, boy.
By warming your synapses for regenerative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 Kelvin.
Call me a Jew.
To keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? I'm not even going to ask because apparently it is.
I'm part black, but I don't think I'm any. I saw this guy. I've been watching a lot of videos of Michael Beans, Freedom Beans, taxation stuff. Bip cop, no government license is good. I've been watching a lot of. By the way, I'm still feeling great, but I'm really mellow, man. Really mellow. You know how. So basically for 3.5 years, I've been like near death, and then I started getting better, and then 4 months ago, and then these fires started, and then I couldn't breathe for 3.5 months, and then the fires stopped, and I started bouncing on this rebounder that a friend sent me, and I suddenly, like, my lymphs started moving, and I'm feeling better, and like miraculously better. You know, I'm still not fantastic, and I'm still going to have permanent lung damage, but from smoking, even though I quit years ago. But so I've, since I started feeling good, my body's been a little manic. Like, in case you didn't notice, if anyone heard my show the other night, you know, like, I've been running on like 5 hours sleep a night, can't sleep more than that, can't nap, I'm just go, go, go. And, you know, like, Lou and my wife and everyone's like, hey, don't burn yourself out, man. It's good to your back, but, you know, take it easy. And I'm like, but I feel good. And I'm like, yeah, running around the house with a cat dancer, playing with the cats for the first time. These cats are like, and I'm playing music now and being loud and kind of being like, you know, not just this little dying thing in a shell. And my cats at first couple days were like, what's wrong? And they were hiding from me, like stomping
what
around.
Did you do with our master?
I know. And then after like 2 days, they're like, but oh my God, we don't care because you're playing with us. It's great. And like, I started playing with Bob with the cat dancer, and all of a sudden he wants to like sleep in bed with me all the time and be around me all the time, and all the cats like me. And
You finally fully bonded.
I did. And they don't care about, you know, synthesizer bleeps and bloops real loud. But I didn't, I slept for like 4 days. I slept like 5 hours. And today I slept, last night I slept like 8.5 hours. And you know how when you're running on like not enough sleep, you can be really energetic, and then you finally get enough sleep and your body goes,
yeah, that wasn't enough. We could use some more.
You stop running on adrenaline, and you're just running on what sleep, little sleep you have, and you get some sleep, and you're like, so I'm kind of there today, but it's good.
Yeah.
Yep. And I've been playing with synthesizers and being part of the grand unified human theory of the Mount Olympus of synthesizer users, from, you know, from Gary Newman through Pink Floyd through Kraftwerk through Pink Floyd through Gary Newman through Devo through, I don't know, on up to Nine Inch Nails. But, you know, I played guitar and bass and drum music my whole life, and played this, you know, really cool hard rhythmic music, and I thought synthesizers were for pusses, and I finally got one, and I'm like, oh my God, you can make stuff so much easier that's so much harder and violent sounding and easier and shakes the house, you know? It's cool. It's cool. I like it. And even the stuff I'm playing that sounds like guitar is keyboards, or it's a guitar triggering MIDI files of guitars, because it actually sounds better than just playing guitar. I've been... Yeah, I've been really getting into Gary Newman again. I liked him when I was a kid. You know, the guy that goes, here in my car, I'm the safest of all. That song? You know that guy, right?
Yeah, it was the lead singer of the Cars, right?
Wasn't no.
It? I thought he was the lead singer of the Cars.
Nope, nope.
He was a solo guy the whole career?
Yeah, and he's way before the Cars.
I know that song.
Yeah.
I know that song. But.
Well, he was the first guy to have a number one hit that was like synthesizer pop in 79. He actually had 2 hits, and he had this like huge career, and I thought he'd disappear, and all of a sudden he's like back again, and he's making cool music, and, you know, like sitting in with Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson, because, you know, they wouldn't exist without him, because they helped build, you know, he helped build what they are in a way. Mm-hmm. And I've started watching documentaries with him, and it's this amazing three act redemption that he's just like in the redemption right now. So basically, he didn't go away. He's been making records the whole time. They were just horrible. So like, so he's, you know, his first two records, like he put out.
So he didn't disappear, but he probably should have for a while.
Right, and he admits it, and he's really humble, and he's like, now he's like 60. He's totally in shape. He looks great. You know, he's married to this like 42-year-old woman. They have like three beautiful daughters together. One of them is like doing music with him and doing videos with him. She's great. You know, and like everyone loves him, and it's the redemption in the third act. It's just beginning. You know, I dig it.
Well, good for him. Yeah, that video, that one video you sent me, I guess, was a recent one, right?
The desert one?
Yeah.
That's the one with his kid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
My name is Ruin, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of
dug it. Which is filmed, it was 118 degrees there, and they're both wearing, like, thick, you know, man who fell to earth, dune kind of clothing
in
the desert. It's that area's out between, they filmed that between 29 Palms, California, and Joshua Tree, if you know where those are. It's like two of the most desolate places in America.
I've heard of them, but I have no idea.
Yeah. And his whole album's about post-apocalyptic. It's a concept album about human-caused global warming. And I'm like, I told my wife that. And, you know, I said, you know, I don't know if I necessarily believe in that, but when I see videos like this, like where this location he is, I kind of believe it. And she's like, yeah, that location that's looked like that for 200,000 years. And it's like, didn't it used to be an ocean? He's like, well, she's like, yeah, well, before people. But, you know, and I'm like, wasn't there something with like water in California that's not there? No, she said, you got it backwards. They irrigated the desert and made the Central Valley. I was like, oh, yeah, it's Chinatown, Jake. Yeah, I know that one. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so I found out, actually, Gary Newman is the illegitimate father of my friend Cash Newman. And Cash Newman spells his name differently, N-E-W-M-A-N-N, and Gary Newman is N-U-M-A-N. But Cash Newman never met his father, and he only a couple times met his drunken whore of a mother. And she told him, yeah, your dad, he was in some band in L.A., and, you know, his name was, I think it's Larry Newman. So he never made the connection. But recently, Cash figured it out. So that's why, you know, we're having this connection here. It's
nice.
Good. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Gary Newman. Like, yeah, good.
No, I was just saying, yeah, that, I mean, I guess that I guess I had him confused. But I do know some of his songs. And I do, you know, that the one you sent me was kind of groovy. So, yeah, it's cool, man, that he can.
Yeah.
Because there's so many other stars from different ages that have hit that period where they just thought, you know, started making just horrible music and either just went nobody ever heard from them again, or they, you know, or they just did it until people just like screamed at them and begged them to stop.
Usually
doesn't end well like this, so that's good.
It's really a happy story, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy from everything everyone says about him and what you can tell from interviews. And, you know, basically what I think happened was, so the way he invented synth pop, more or less, and he actually, like, he's credited with that, but he didn't really invent it. It was a band called Ultravox, and he's like, oh, yeah, it was Ultravox. They were on their third record when I was on my first, but I just got known for it. But so basically, his band was a punk band with guitar, bass, and drums, kind of punky poppy, and they got signed to Beggar's Banquet Records, and they were, like, going in the studio. And he went in the studio before they went in to check it out and meet the guy that owned the studio and see what the room looked like, and there was an old synthesizer in the corner that some prog band had left there. And he's like, what is that? May I borrow that and take it home tonight? And the studio guy's like, yeah, I guess they haven't picked it up. Just bring it back. And he took it home and he's like, started playing it. And he just realized, like, okay, I'm completely rewriting our record with this 2 days before you go in the studio. So that's how it happened. It was a happy accident, but, you know, with some creativity. Yeah. And then, like, the way his persona was formed of, like, you know, the thin, white-faced, like, alien, you know, people think, like, oh, he designed it after Bowie, or, oh, it was this well-thought-out thing. It was more like, he did a song, it became a number one hit, they put him on Top of the Pops, he showed up, he was 21, and covered with acne, and they're like, oh, we have to do something about that. And they put, like, a quarter inch of white pancake makeup on him. And then when they put it on, they're like, okay, now your eyes kind of look like two pee holes in the snow. So they put, like, the raccoon black under his eyes.
Oh,
and then just, you know, like, his kind of robotic movements on stage were just that he's nervous in hell, doesn't connect with people, and he's got autism, and he just was being himself. So I guess that segues into the autism section, huh?
Yeah.
Well, he says that his autism.
Asperger's.
Yeah. Hey, can you say that on radio? He's oh, I was saying that I was watching this video the other day, and this kid was like, you remember that? Did you see that rap song with that long-haired British dude, like called "Don't Go to School" or something like that? It made the rounds with the Libertarians.
Oh yeah, I remember that a couple years ago. Yeah.
Well, that guy's got a YouTube channel where he does, you know, a Patreon-driven YouTube channel with 100,000 subscribers and does a video every week. And in one of the videos, he was like, he did a 23andMe, and he's like, okay, I'm going to look at my results and see just how very British I am. And he's like, oh my, I'm very British. And he's like, but what's this? 1%, what's this word? Ashkenazi? What's an Ashkenazi? And then he looks it up, and he's like, an Ashkenazi Jew, am I Jewish? Why are they called Ashkenazi or Nazi? Ashkenazi, that's what he said, yeah. But neither here nor there. But I thought it was funny. It was good.
That is funny. No, I remember. Yeah, I remember that guy. I think I subscribed to his channel, but I also
he's obviously autistic, is why I brought it up. Really, that's the connection. Oh. Everyone with a YouTube channel is successful, is, and everyone that built the computer industry, except the sociopaths that were the bosses. All the programmers were autistic, I think. Everyone in Halt and Catch Fire, except the sadists running the companies. All the programmers are autistic, but you know. As we will learn,
maybe I should get onto YouTube more then.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Make some money.
Yeah.
You're saying about the difference.
Autism. Well, Gary Newman said that he's autistic and, or you know, light autism, which is Asperger's. Which you and I have probably.
Autism light.
Yeah, autism light. Autism classic.
I'm convinced at this point, after all the experts in the field have told me that I have it, that I feel confident that I can make comments like that with no problem.
Yeah, he hasn't been diagnosed either. He's self-diagnosed, but it's pretty easy to self-diagnose.
Well, according to that
unless
that video,
you have narcissistic personality disorder. Don't want to admit it.
Not all the time.
We'll talk about that when we get back. This trip to the market.
Worms.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
We're back. This was Michael. Look at that.
Yep. So the other day, when I was on a rant, when I talked for an hour, 3 months worth of talking, 1 hour, I didn't tie up some loose ends, and I listened to it, and I made some notes. One of the things was, I talked about, you know, how I was stimulating my lymph system with bouncing and vibration and brushes and walking and playing with cats. And the one thing I said that I didn't tie up was I said, and I'm not using normal deodorant anymore. I'm using natural deodorant. And then I just changed the topic. And it's like, it sounds like, okay, that's a weird non sequitur. So you want to be stinky? What's up, Michael? But here's the thing. Basically, normal deodorant, there's deodorant and there's antiperspirant. Deodorant doesn't stop you from sweating. It stops you from smelling or reduces
it. Yeah, masks. It's supposed to mask the smell. It doesn't.
Yeah, it can be, you know, it can be perfumed and or it can be like baking soda based, so it soaks it up, or it can change the pH so you don't produce as much stink in your sweat, but it doesn't stop sweating.
Odoriferous animations.
Right. Emanations or animations?
No, I mean, do you remember that? What was it? Was that Reichard? The old Reichard commercials that used to have all the sports stars, and it was the Charles Barkley back in the '80s. Yes. Was the, his odoriferous animations?
Yes, emanations, not animations.
No, emanations.
Yes. So, deodorant, on the other hand, and a lot of what are called deodorants contain both. Most of them do. But deodorant is aluminum salt-based substances that stop your sweat glands from sweating. And a lot of people don't like doing that for a lot of reasons. One is it's really unnatural. You know,
aluminum is like bad for you and stuff, man.
And there's ancillary evidence that it can cause cancer, which, you know, of course, the deodorant companies say, no, it's proven it doesn't. And
the conspiracy nuts say, it absolutely is proven, 100% right, beyond a doubt.
And there's a little more evidence that it can cause Alzheimer's, because aluminum in your brain can cause Alzheimer's, and this stuff can pass the brain blood-brain barrier. So that's a really good reason not to use it.
That seems like a much more more solid link.
Yeah,
than the
and the
cancer one.
The main reason I'm not using it is because your largest collection of lymph nodes is under each armpit, and sweating is part of how the lymph system gets toxins out of your body. So basically, if you are, you know, using deodorant every day for your entire adult life, you're basically like taking cement and sealing up holes that are meant to be flowing.
Sealing up the air holes, man.
Yeah, man. So, and I really believe that this is a difference of why I'm healthier. And I also got some weird Chinese medicine called on Amazon called Photocort, P-H-O-T-O-C-O-R-T, which is some ancient Chinese mixture of like licorice and some mushroom and some other stuff. And the pills are clear and basically look like kratom. It's like, you know, clear pills with some green powder in them. But they, I think that's helping too. It's an asthma cure that's thousands of years old and it actually is working. So all this together is really
before they even knew what asthma was.
Right. They call it bad humors or something. Vicious goat spirit wolves in your lungs. Well, I have a theory that the idea of humans being possessed by spirits came from advanced asthma in primitive cultures, because when I had extremely bad asthma a few years ago, when I wheezed, it sounded like voices. Like, I actually recorded myself wheezing, I think played it on the show one time, and it was like, it sounded like that. A bunch of demons down in a pit yelling really quietly. And I can imagine, like, someone in a country where, or in an era where even a stethoscope would be an advancement in medical technology that's, you know, hundreds of years off, and someone was sick and couldn't breathe, you know, they would lie down and their loved ones or, you know, tribe physician would probably put their ear on their chest or up to their mouth and hear that noise and probably think they were possessed. I could see it.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening.
Yep, so I was possessed with bad humors. But so I did a lot of reading, and the lymph thing, there is a connection between, like, basically the lymph glands are a circulatory system in your body, lymph nodes in the lymph system, that work with your blood and with your spleen and a few other organs in your body, and, including the appendix, which, contrary to most popular belief, is not a useless organ, and it you can live without it, but it is not, you know, they say,
it does have a purpose.
The theory used to be that it was for digesting raw meat before there was fire, but it's actually still involved in the lymph system in cleaning out and recognizing attackers and toxins and microbes and things and spores and mold.
Well, that would be important to me then, because I still like to eat raw meat now.
Yeah. Well, keep your appendix close and your spleen closer. We'll be back after this trip to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Freedom Fiends, we're talking about why the state is immoral, why all taxation is theft. That's all we're going to say about that. We're talking about hippie deodorant right now.
And why you should be using hippie deodorant. Yeah. Is that where we're going with this?
Yeah, yeah. So here's a life hack other than just hippie deodorant for health. I told you to go get your deodorant and read the ingredients to me, and I've got my hippie deodorant here. We're going to compare them.
Yes.
And you said you couldn't read yours because the writing's too small. I'm like, yeah, it's not hippie deodorant. They're trying to hide the ingredients. But really, and I was like, well, I'm old. I have good glasses now, and I have, you know, I have like four little LED reading glasses, magnifying glasses around the house now, like in every room. But you said you didn't. And I said, what'd I say? How'd you read it? I told you.
Oh yeah, to take a picture of it so I can enlarge it.
Yep. There's your life hack number one.
Yes, that is good. Because definitely for me, because I'm going blind. I am, I'm 40 now. I've been wearing glasses since I was 7, and my eyes have gotten progressively worse. So,
why don't you have new glasses? Because they're expensive.
I got glasses a couple of years ago, and it's just like since I've got those.
I know. Me too.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like, and this is around the time that my dad, was going to need bifocals, and he ended up getting his LASIK surgery now, I think.
Speaking of dads, did you see the picture of my pimping dad on his 96-year-old
birthday? Great.
In a suit in a park, flanked by two cute 60-year-old women, Florida ladies?
Yeah. I saw it. Yeah.
I think they might be his nurses, but I don't care. It's an awesome picture from his home where he lives. Yeah. Awesome.
He'd be macking.
Yep, he'd be macking. So, what's in your deodorant?
Oh, in my deodorant.
What is it? What's the company? What's the name?
Tom's of Maine.
Tom's of Maine. Yeah. I actually wrote something in my notes about Tom's of Maine.
Oh, well,
I was going
like
to say that. Well, I like them, but Tom's of Maine makes hippie deodorant, but I'll bet you it still has aluminum in it. Like, when I'm talking about hippie deodorant,
it claims. Well, no, that's the claim on the top on the cap, the little sticker there says no aluminum. That's their whole thing. So, the number one ingredient is propylene glycol, which isn't that what's in vape fluid?
Vaping. You know what it's also used for? When you go to a club and they're using a smoke machine, that's what you buy that. I was in bands that, I rode.
Oh, I have one
bands.
Of those.
Yeah.
I have
a smoke machine for parties.
Yeah, we had it for Halloween parties back in the day. So
really,
I still have it.
And buy a gallon of propylene glycol.
Yeah, I think I have like 3 gallons of it stored upstairs.
Yeah, yep. It's not good for you.
Well,
I'm sure there's vaping.
I don't drink
vaping,
it.
There's vaping Nazis saying it's perfectly safe. No. Inhaling anything other than air is not perfectly safe, but go on.
The vape that I use is a half and half. I think it's half propylene, half vegetable glycol, so whatever.
Yeah. Vaping vegetable oil isn't good for you either, but go on.
No, I'm over it. Anyway, so that's the number one ingredient. And then water, sodium stearate. I have no idea what that is.
That is the aluminum replacement. That's still not a real hippie deodorant. Sodium stearate is what's in a styptic pen. You know what a styptic pen is?
It's
a little thing that ladies have on their makeup shelf when they cut themselves shaving. You touch.
Well, I use it for animals. You use it to for like cuts on nails and stuff, and like little cuts and stuff like that. You know.
Yep.
My ferrets have to use it all the time, especially when you're clipping their nails, because if you misfire.
You don't sweat much, right, under your arms wearing this deodorant?
I actually do sweat a lot.
Right.
Not as much when I'm using the deodorant, but just,
Yeah, well, regular deodorant, like, you don't sweat, And regular deodorant, like, I can wear it and not shower for 2 or 3 days before it starts to smell. But it just...
Like Right Guard or something like that?
Yeah.
Like regular deodorant?
Yeah, like
okay.
Men's deodorant. Yeah. And, deodorant didn't exist until, like, 19, 50 or 48 or something. Before that, everyone just smelled and put on cologne and perfume. What a time to be alive. I want to get back to when America was great and smelled bad.
Well, when everybody collectively smells bad, then nobody smells bad.
I disagree. I think that sounds like Antifa logic to me. But go on.
You just get used to it.
I don't know.
People didn't complain as much.
All right. So, hey, back when I didn't wear deodorant, I was playing in a rock band. Girls would just walk up to me and sniff me, and then just pull me by the arm and take me home. It was like catnip. I was like catnip back in the day. All right. But now I got my middle age stink. So.
A little bit different.
I still smell good. So I stopped using regular deodorant and I bought this hippie deodorant. It's called Organic Island Deodorant with Probiotics Original, vegan, aluminum free. It's like $13 a stick. I'll send you the link to put in the show notes. I like it. And for 3 days, I didn't wear any deodorant. I didn't smell. And I even showered once in there. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, I smelled like I haven't smelled in years. Like, oh, my God. Like, it just filled everything. And then I put the hippie deodorant on and didn't smell. Now, the thing with hippie deodorant is you pretty much have to shower every day when you use it. But you don't have to use soap. Like, you know, have a soapy, you know, wash your hair and use a lot of soap, like, twice a week. But basically just hose off for, like, 2 minutes. Every night.
See, now I tried that because I used to be a big fan of Adam Carolla's show, and I used to listen to him all the time, and he swears up and down about this that he only showers with like hot water, hot enough that it, you know, almost scalding him basically.
That's bad for you, because it makes your skin dry.
But yeah, exactly. But that's what I thought too. But he doesn't use any shampoo.
I've had a skin doctor tell me to not use soap except on my groin, my butt, my armpits. But I still do it twice a week now. But the thing, people are like, "What are the fiends doing, man? Michael, go back to not being on the show. This is horrible." But this is life, man.
Yeah, this is life.
It's life. Yeah, you know, y'all can talk about theories about what Obama did to you today and what Trump did at the UN. You know, I'm completely anti-political, but when I saw like the headline, like Trump addresses the UN, I just kind of put my head in my hands and went, "Ugh, ugh." Didn't even click on it, but. So basically soap on your armpits increases smell because it changes the pH to alkaline, which grows the germs that makes the sweat smell and then produces the butyric acid substance. So basically, if you just hose off every day and then use hippie deodorant once or twice a day, if you're really active, you might need it twice a day. Like, you might have to bring it with you, but I don't leave the house. So.
Well, maybe it's the twice a day thing, but that's what I was driving at, because I did try it, you know. The hot water thing wasn't for me anyway, because I just don't like hot. Like, I take
Well, you should actually
showers.
Do that's alternating warm and cool, not hot and not cold, because alternating the same shower warm and cool stimulates your lymph glands.
Well, that makes sense too. I just like lukewarm water anyway. It's just always been the way I've been. I tried not showering and using that type of deodorant and yeah, man, it just didn't work for me. I was like, you talk about stinking like you haven't, like you were mentioning before. It's like, wow, man, this is bad. No, I can't even tolerate myself.
But a lot of people do the first time for the first week or so that they switch from one to the other. And I will probably still use regular deodorant, you know, once a month. Like if I have to go, oh, I don't know, like get a colonoscopy or something, you know, which I have to do pretty soon again. You know, if I have to go be in the presence of other people closely or do a, you know, physical exam with a doctor or something, but, you know, I'm not completely off it. But no, it is common when you switch over to from, you know, the kind that closes you off from sweating, which the sodium stearate, was that what it was? The styptic stuff? Yeah, yeah, that does the same thing. So Tom is basically lying. It's technically aluminum free, but it's doing what aluminum does. I mean, it may not give you Alzheimer's, but it is stopping your sweat glands and compromising your lymph flow. So, yep. So what else is in yours?
Darn it, Tom. Not happy with him. Oh, I got to get back to my
picture. You know what else is? A lot of people, hippies, use deodorant that's just a big rock. It looks like a big piece of crystal meth that weighs like a pound. You seen that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's just a big crystal of alum, which is aluminum. Like, they're like, oh, I'm natural. I'm not using chemicals. But they're just rubbing aluminum, you know, on their arm. So.
Brilliant.
Mine contains. Okay, what else is in yours?
The rest of it is organic aloe leaf juice. Hops. That's. And then a bunch of other, you know, organic sunflower seed oil and stuff like that.
Yep. Mine is organic coconut oil, organic cornstarch, aluminum-free baking soda, wild-crafted candelilla wax, organic jojoba oil, and shelf-stable vegan probiotics. And everything in there does something to make you smell less. Like, you know, the baking soda soaks up smell. You know, some of these affect the pH to be a little more acid. And the probiotics, actually, like, I'm like, that sounds weird and hippie, and like, but there's actually a reason. It's you know, natural organisms that fight the organisms that make you stink. Because sweat does not naturally smell. When it hits the air, though, and mixes with bacteria that live on people's skin, it produces a butyric acid solution, which smells really, really bad. Like, stink bombs are basically the same chemical, more or less. Yeah.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah. Well. I guess I'll have to look into something
else. I'm writing a book on how to change your life. And this is one of the chapters in it. I am.
Which deodorant to use?
Yeah, this is going in the 4.5 rules of life.
Excellent.
I think this would be under the rule of don't initiate or accept aggression. Because your rights end at my nose. All right.
Well, you know, I don't know. I remember I switched to this brand years ago because of the whole aluminum thing, and it was more the Alzheimer's thing than the cancer thing. I was kind of like, yeah, you know what? I could try to get away with it.
What's the chemical? I want to look it up. Sodium stearate.
Yeah, sodium stearate. S-T-E.
I'm almost positive that's what it's in a styptic pencil, and I imagine that it stops you from sweating because it stops you from bleeding.
It would make sense, but it would also, I don't know. Like
soap,
like I said, I still end up sweating. So, you know, not as much, obviously. And I don't stink, which is great. So
you think? No, I'm kidding.
Well, like I said, I tried that whole, like, I did it for, cause I knew I'd have to get, my body would have to get used to it. So I tried it for a couple of weeks and it just didn't work for me.
So, you know, this is actually not what's in a styptic pencil. It's a soap, but it still sounds painful. It's used in various mouth forms, so there's foes, forms.
Well, all right, so maybe I might still be good then.
You might be good, who knows?
Arms.
We'll talk about it when you get back. Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Freedom Fiends, helping the helpless!
I worked up a sweat. I had to change my clothes between the breaks.
Whoa.
But not under my armpits. Everywhere else. I've been sweating a lot because I'm sick and overweight and toxified. But actually, I've been sweating less at night for sure since my new diet. Oh, I'm also eating less junk food and more, like, still eating not perfect, but, you know, instead of eating trail mix, I'm eating like unsalted cashews and this interesting mixture that my wife found of these three oil-based plants. It's like chia pet seeds, hemp seeds, and something else. It's called the Trilogy. And I put it in my yogurt. And that's supposed to be good.
Chia seeds.
Chia pet seeds. They are chia pet seeds. They grow chia
I have chia seeds in my stock, too. I put them in my nice.
You smoke
smoothies
them?
And stuff. No.
Chia pet smoothie.
I make smoothies and stuff.
Stem cell smoothie?
Yeah.
You got a stem. Let's call this show stem smell smoothie. Stem smell cell smoothie. I like that. So, what else are we talking about? We got a comment about the John Vibes caucus rant the other day. And caucus is a racist word because it's the same root as Caucasian. It's not really racist, but they both come from the same word, and it's got to do with the Caucasus Mountains in Russia. But we'll get to that. Okay, go ahead and read his thing. I'll forget it. I don't want to forget it.
The
comments.
Email?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a comment on the website. Oh, Thomas Knapp, longtime Fiend fan.
Okay, yeah. So there's four points that I guess, because it was John, Shane, and I that were talking about this, but John was bringing this information to us. He claimed that he had inside information.
Bring it to us for? Oh no, okay. I thought he brought it from that magazine. What's that horrible magazine?
No, I think he said, I don't know, he just said he had information.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd been told. But anyway, so his first point is that Sarwark wasn't the Nicholas Sarwark, I think that's his name, wasn't the creator of the motion in question. And then he lists the person who I don't know who she is either. I don't think any of us actually said it was him. I think we only talked about him just because he's the only one that I know currently in the Libertarian
Party. Yeah, and then you guys had a long rant about is he or is he not a fed? Which, without really saying that, which I thought was funny, even if he's not, I enjoyed that.
Or if he was just
That was a nicely done dog whistle. You didn't say he's a fed. You talked about him. Then you talked about how there's probably people infiltrating the Liberty Movement and always have been. Then you went back to talking about him. It was a complete separate paragraph, but I liked it. It was very talk radio. Seriously, I like it.
So if we did allude to the fact that he was the one who created that particular one, then I apologize. We were wrong. I don't think we did though. Anyway,
point two
is that no, the motion isn't to sue anyone who uses the word libertarian. It's to defend the LNC's trademark on the two-word phrase Libertarian Party. Okay, again, I'm not aware of that. John's the one who brought us information, so if that was wrong, then I guess
that
was
wrong. Did John say that, though, that they were going to sue anyone that used the word
Libertarian? That's the way he brought it to us.
I don't think so. You know, I thought that was weird, too, because there's a bunch of attorneys in the Libertarian Party. I don't think that would pass the smell test out of the room.
Well, even Thomas says here, in his opinion, the trademark claim is indefensible. What is that? I don't know. I think trademark is all BS to me anyway. So.
Defensible the same as indefensible? That's my problem with that statement, other than IP. You know, if we're pretending IP should exist for a minute, I don't know.
I don't actually know how it's but
inflammable, flammable.
But a lot of, I know a lot of the people.
Oh, he said it means not defensible. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right. So, okay. I mean, again.
Well, but a lot of people sue for trademarks when they don't have standing, but they're usually people bigger than the Libertarian Party. Like, corporations will often put thickets of lawsuits around things as a strategic lawsuit to eliminate participation, where they don't really think they're going to win. They just want no one to even consider the possibility of, you know, stepping on, you know, 20 feet away from their toes, even.
Yeah.
In their mind. It's common, but yeah. I don't know. So, yeah. Point number three.
Yeah, so point number three, you don't think Sarwark has been in the chair for very long. Okay, this is directed, I guess, at me then, because I think I was the one who made this comment. In fact, he is well into his second full term as chair. Okay, number one, how long are the terms? And number two, I said that out of ignorance, and I said I was saying it because I didn't know. And John, I think, just nodded along, you know, pretty much nodded along.
So it's all your fault. He should be telling you, not Chuck. Yeah. All right.
No, the other one was John. And the last one is just laughable to me. Sarwark has more libertarian principle in his little finger than the misnamed Mises Caucus has shown so far.
Caucus. That's racist. Thomas Knapp. I like Thomas Knapp.
I think he's far from libertarian. I think anybody in Libertarian
Thomas Knapp's
Party.
Libertarian.
I think anybody in the Libertarian Party is actually far from libertarian.
Shots fired.
Because you guys violate the Knapp by playing politics.
Yeah, so, I was just putting on my Minarchist hat for a minute. I like Tom.
Whatever, yo.
Tom Snap reposts every Fiends episode.
How about a warning? You're about to share with my friend Michael W. Dean, a survivor, thinks about humanity and his methods for dealing with it. Brace yourself for some bare naked honesty. If you're willing to hear what Michael is saying, there are times when you'll laugh and times when you'll want to cry in the retelling of his truths. He has defined it so you can feel it. Take his example and live. I warned you earlier because this book is written in the same way Michael speaks. He's a straight shooter, a no pretense, a no excuses kind of guy that I love like a brother. Understanding how we are to deal with negative people, Michael has answers for you. The human race has its aberrations and monsters, and unfortunately, sometimes they are close to you. Michael gives you his take on them and how he handles the noise. I can guarantee you will pick up a tool to use from a user's manual for the human experience. As Michael says, his life is a teaching hospital.
A user's manual for the human experience. Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. Get it now on Amazon. I remembered what here.
Real. Gotta remember to use my special intro next week. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial News Plaza, on the artificial satellite Lit Pair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCAT, no government license. This allows for use by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCAT.org. Yeah. So we're back. Second hour.
Yep.
It's Jeremy. Here with Michael Dean.
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah. Yeah. Hi. I want to welcome Belfouche, but I don't know if we're on the air, back on the air in Belfouche, South Dakota. So if you're listening in Belfouche, South Dakota,
or Sundance, right now,
Wyoming, no, send me an email. I don't know. Maybe I should say call in. You think they have the internet in Sundance, Wyoming?
I hope so.
Oh, come on. I mean, Casper, that's it. It's not like, you know, oh, well, it's Wyoming. It's like, I live here because no one knows where it is, and it's not very technological. I like it. I'm the king. I'm the one-eyed man who's king in Wyoming tech-wise. All right, so, but if you're listening in Sundance or Belfouche, send us an email right now, please, at bipcoin@gmail.com. That's not Bitcoin. Bip.
Wait a
coin.
Minute. Did we get suspended from both of them? I thought it was just Belfouche.
It's the same company.
Oh.
Bravo. Bipcoin. That's Bravo India Papa Coin. bipcoin@gmail.com. Send me an email right now, please, and tell me that we're on. So yeah, it's, you know, a lot of stations that in talk radio, like, you get on one and you get on two. You know, it's cool.
Gotcha.
Covers a huge area, man. Covers, like, I mean, that's like the size of the tri-state area where you are, except, you know, I'd rather be on 7 watts in the tri-state area than, you know, 100. I don't know. We're on 96,000 watts in Montana one place. And I like, what I like about that, even though it probably reaches as many people as 7 watts would in your neighborhood, or 15 watts or something like that, you know, downtown New York City, or less. It reaches less people and more sheep in Montana. But
I was going to say, there's lots of sheep that are going to be listening. And,
it is, and it reaches to outer space. And, you know, farmers do listen to the talk radio in the barn. I've heard it. I've been there. My parents grew up on farms. So my pimping 96-year-old dad, I like that he's 96. I could live to be 96.
My act together. My grandfather wasn't like a farmer, but he had like a little mini farm going on at his you know, suburban house on Long Island. He had like chickens and geese and rabbits and you know, a pretty big garden and all that stuff. And yeah, he had the radio out there all the time too.
Always.
That's what I grew up listening to.
My wife really liked the picture of my dad, and she said, "No one in her family's lived till past 80, but they all lived to about 80 in their early 80s." And she said, "So you'll outlive me by 15 years. So after I go, you'll have to shack up with some tart who's 70." I like that. Love you, baby. Yep, she's awake. She's in there beating up Japanese boys who live with their parents in her 40s. On the video game she plays on her internet phone device. You know, I was going to say earlier about how kind of ironic of how things have changed in my life, because we're talking about how, you know, we want to get new glasses, but good ones are expensive and our eyes are getting worse to the point where, like, we can't afford to get them every year like we should, so we're getting them every 2 or 3 years. But
I've been doing that for a long time. I've been 6-7 years in between prescriptions.
Yeah, so, but at this age, you can't do that as much and not suffer and squint. And, like, you had to take a picture of a label to read it so you could blow the picture up. And I was thinking, like, how things have changed in my lifetime. When I was a kid, people bought a pair of glasses and pretty much had it their whole life. And, you know, if they couldn't read with it, they'd go to the nickel and dime store and if the Ben Franklin and spend 40 cents and buy some generic reading glasses to put over them. And yeah, it was problem that. Solved.
Oh, no, I was going to say, because, like, I remember my grandmother, who's always had horrible eyesight, but could never, you know, was always a little low on money, so could never really afford to get glasses regularly. She would go, I think it was the church near us, used to have,
Try on a bunch of, dead people glasses.
Well, not even dead people glasses. It was, they would, like, collect, you know, they would take collections from people. Oh, if you have old glasses,
I always keep my last one, though. I always keep my last one.
I do, too.
There's an apocalypse and mine break. I'll still have something, but
I'm notorious for breaking my glasses, so I definitely I mean, I wear contacts.
So think about this, though. In my lifetime, like, I was born in 64. First time I touched a computer was in 74. It was a mainframe at my sister's university in New Hampshire. First time I met someone who had a computer in their home was 1986. We've gotten to the point where you can't afford glasses, so you pull a supercomputer out of your pocket to take a picture so you can read something. What a time to be alive, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, for this particular one, a simple magnifying glass would still suffice.
I know. But, you know, I have those all over.
It's a lot more convenient since I don't have one of those currently. I probably should.
They're like $4 on Amazon. I got like five of them, put them in every room, or two in some rooms, like each counter in the kitchen.
I probably should just give in and just say screw it. I need those around here, so I might as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Although you might be moving, so you know, do you want to acquire things or not?
No, not particularly. But stuff like that is not a huge deal because those are easily transportable.
Yeah, they are. But,
yeah, I'd rather not acquire anything major.
Well, there's another Boy Scout another life hack is the Boy Scout packing trick. You put the absolute minimum you can take on a trip on your bed, and then you pack half of what's on your bed. I like that one. I've done that forever, but then finally I quit living like a bum out of a knapsack around the world in Europe and America, and got married. And now I'm acquiring stuff, and I got my wife has pointed out that, like, our house is pretty nice, but my room is, like, I have my own room. She has her own room because we sleep different schedules. My room looks exactly like the bachelor studio apartment I had when she met me. Like, I've recreated that room in our nice home and then filled it with stuff. And now I've got, you know, because stuff's gotten cheap and good and Amazon rocks. And now I, like, own the synthesizer I've wanted since 1974. And I realized the other day that I got this about 3 weeks ago, and I've been learning to use it and learning to use Cubase and learning to use MIDI. And in the process of learning to do this, I've pretty much written a record, like a full album's worth of good music. I mean, it's not done. Like, not much of it has lyrics. Some of it only has a little lyrics. I haven't been able to sing until today. Today I made that song called These Cats. What did you think of that song, These Cats, that I played for you?
It was groovy, man. I dug it.
Yeah. It's about my cats. It's industrial dance pop about my cats and how they keep me sane. And, you know, some people have that song and most people don't. I've been putting up rough drafts on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/ is it Fiend or Fiends? I'll look it up. I'll put it in the show notes. But it's on the Fiend site. You know, the Fiend site and find it. So yeah, man, people should give me money and you'll get songs that other people don't get. And the other day you got, people sometimes about once a month I put out I record a show on my end that has like all the between chatter, you know, so you can be like in on the club. And you know, you said something heresy during the break, heretic. You said that we were talking about hippie deodorants and you said you had Tom's deodorant and I said I have organic island deodorant with probiotics. And you said mine is more hippie than yours, and yours is from Tom's of Finland. No, wait, Tom's of Finland's the guy that draws the really super homoerotic cowboy and cop pictures. You ever seen that guy?
No.
When DJ saw the Sex Pistols in San Antonio, you know, on their ill-fated tour, if you've seen the Sex Pistols movie, it's the one where three rednecks cowboys beat the crap out of Sid Vicious on the railroad tracks behind the club. For calling him names. He was wearing a shirt at that show. It was a Tom's of Finland shirt that he'd gotten in New York City and had on for like 3 weeks and was rotting off him because he didn't bathe or wear deodorant. And he also was worse than that. I'm not going to go into it, but... okay, he pooped his pants. Someone I knew who knew him said that, and he didn't change them. But that's punk, I guess. So he was wearing a t-shirt at that show, cut-off t-shirt that was like Tom's of Finland picture of like two cowboys having sex that had like anatomically impossibly large anyway. So I don't want to lose more stations, but I didn't swear. I didn't say nothing. So what were we talking about? I wrote a whole album.
With this point. Yeah, you're right there right now.
Oh, we mixed up. I mixed up deodorant and antiperspirant in the last thing. Deodorant, it keeps you from being smelly. Antiperspirant keeps you from sweating. So if you want to do it organic, you want deodorant, but not antiperspirant, and you don't want anything with aluminum. And you said that my stuff was more hippie than yours, because the corporate hippie. And I was like, almost heresy, man. Sisters in New Hampshire living in a van had, you know, I tried Tom's toothpaste the same week I was on a computer in 1974, you know, which the only thing hippie
or corporate... My kids use the Tom's my kids use the Tom's toothpaste. I couldn't get into it. I still use like Colgate and stuff like that.
The only thing that's more hippie, corporate hippie than Tom's products is Dr. Bronner soap. Do you know about that? That is a mind fluff, man.
I've never used it, but I know the name.
Have you seen it in showers and read it in someone's shower? Like,
no, but I know the name of it, but I've never actually.
It's got this insane rant with like 5-point type. Like, it's got, like, the guy, like, wrote his own Bible and published it on the soap bottle, and it's a liquid, and he's, like, listing how it can save humanity, and also how, like, you can use it for, you know, deodorant, soap, showers, laundry, birth control, toothpaste, washing your pets. I'm like, man, all right. But,
wow.
But my stuff is really, really hippie. It's made by one guy in Key West, Florida. But I don't know if I'll be able to get this.
At least it used to be made by one guy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I should like stockpile what Amazon has of it, because it's really good. I read a bunch of reviews of a bunch of aluminum-free deodorant, and this was the one that had the best reviews. So, and like 1,000 of them. So,
yours is definitely more. Like I said, yours is definitely more hippie because it has none of the chemicals that Tom's does. And again, I've been happy with it for the past couple of years that I've been using it. But to me, it really is like it's the corporate hippie. If you're going to call it a hippie one, it's the It is. It's the mainstream hippie one.
So yeah, it's the main. Brothers.
You know, it's sold. I mean, if it's sold in the box store up by me, the BJ's, it's not. You know, they don't sell like, you know, any organic stuff they sell is usually like, you know, the mainstream version of it.
Yeah, mine organic island deodorant is only sold on Amazon and probably like, you know, one surf/head shop in Key West or something. And you know, the guy probably doesn't even probably make it in his kitchen. He probably makes it on his houseboat. I would imagine he probably doesn't even have a house, so it's very hippie.
Oh,
I hope he's well.
Probably does. Well, yeah.
I'll email him during the break and make sure he's okay. All right.
There you go.
Yeah, and there's a break coming up. So you got any closing arguments for the break?
Closing arguments? No, I don't think I have any closing arguments.
All right, we're going to talk about autism and how cool it is when we get back.
Yeah, allegedly.
How it makes a better artist and a worse friend.
Yeah, I can definitely attest to the latter.
Oh, you're wonderful. Love you. No homo. A little homo.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
It's working for me, just like my organic island deodorant, which we will link in the show notes. Yeah, the stuff doesn't really have a smell. It's got a really slight smell, but it's, I don't know. Someone described it as just smelling clear or clean. And it's not, I thought it'd be like waxy and get in my clothes, but it doesn't really. I dig it. So I was worried about these people. because they're in Key West. I went to their website. It was still up, but there's nothing there. Then I went to their Facebook, and I found out it's a family. It's a wife and her husband and their three daughters, and they, you know, what'd you say? Slave labor. They have their kids.
Child labor.
Looks like, yeah. Oh, yeah, child labor. It's not slave labor. Kids probably love it. And they say, we received no damage at all from Irma, and it's business as usual for us. We're very grateful. Thank you all for your concern. Well wishes. Yay. And me and 16 others clicked like, and I'm really happy. I mean, I don't know anything about them. I wish them well, but I care really more about the deodorant. That's why I was worried about it.
Which would make you a narcissist and not somebody with Asperger's.
Why not both? Plus, nice segue. All right. So there's a video. What's the video called?
Yeah.
We'll put that in the show. You'll put that in the show notes. You're editing, right?
Yeah, I'm editing.
All right.
Yeah, we started talking about this in the first hour about we mentioned the whole Asperger thing with the Gary Newman conversation, and there's a video on YouTube titled "Is it Asperger's or narcissism or both?"
Does it say or both?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It's like a 6-minute video, and it's with one of those robotic, like a female robotic talking voice,
which makes it kind of annoying because they're talking about autism.
Yeah.
And it's read by a robot.
And
if you know anything about autism, people with autism kind of seem robotic, like Gary Newman.
Yeah. And they do refer to the people with autism as Aspies, which I found weird because that's
usually, I find that charming.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it, but
I'm an Aspie.
Well, again, to be clear, you might be more of a narcissist.
Well, we're going to get there. To be clear, Asperger's is a mild form of autism. That's how it's designated now. It used to be they were considered two different things, but now they've moved Asperger's onto the autism scale, but just down at the functioning, you know, computer nerd, synth pop pioneer, and not the I can't function. And which some people on autism have trouble. I'm going to get evil emails. My one, and I have autism and I function. Well, you know, yeah, some people can, but generally the Aspie scale means you can go work at a job in an office, and but you probably want to stay in your cubicle and not talk to anybody,
or run a pet sitting business. So you work with mostly animals.
Yeah, yeah. Or I heard one lady who, I mean. And people with Asperger's can also, like, they can interface with people. They just do it only when they choose and want to, if they want to be happy. Like, one woman I knew of who was worked at a used bookstore, and she really loved the job because she read, like, every book in the bookstore. And when people asked about books, she would engage them long conversations about the books. But other than that, she didn't want to talk about the weather with anybody or anything, you know?
Yeah.
One of the things that I think both have in common, but Aspies definitely have a lot, is they frequently have really narrow, intense fields of interest. And it can switch from different times in their life. Like, I get really obsessed. Like, right now, synthesizers are my life. And, you know, I'll get really good at them, do something with them, and probably move on to something else, but still have them in the background of my life. But, I mean, I watched 30 or 40 videos in the past 24 hours about synthesizers, and I dig it. Yeah. And, you know, I go to, like, try to learn how to make software. I ended up making an album. So there it is. So let's read the list. You want to read the list of what they have in common?
Again, the title is Asperger's or Narcissism or Both. So it's basically because the video starts out by explaining that, you know, they can be easily confused, and there's, you know, but they are really as different as night and day. But there's a list of similarities that can, you know, and they mention that, yeah, there's a reason you could mistake the two if you don't really, you know, if you just at a cursory glance at an individual. And there's a pretty lengthy. Go ahead.
And to be clear, people with narcissistic personality disorder, I believe that is the DSM designation for it, but they're often called sociopaths, which is not a psychological designation, but it's kind of like the, what everyone calls narcissists.
Shorthand. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this list of similarities between the two is kind of lengthy, but number one is lack of empathy, which I know very well. I've talked about this on the show before. I had to teach myself that at a much later age than most.
You had
people.
To learn to act like a human.
Well, kind of. because, you know, it was hard for me to connect with other people.
Yeah.
But anyway. Oh, that was a quick bet. That was quick.
The clock did not have empathy for your finishing your paragraph.
So we'll have
you got clock blocked.
We'll have to finish this list when we get back.
Woof.
Worms.
Woof.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
I'm enjoying this. It's been a while.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I think about when I break at the top of the hour when I stepped outside. I was like, it's been a while since we've done a show like this. We do this all the time.
Yep. We'll do more. We'll do more. So we're talking about the difference between you, someone with autism, and me, someone with autism, but possibly narcissistic personality disorder. But I'm going to do a spoiler here and say I'm not a narcissist. I just play one on the radio. People have often thought that I am one, but I don't have a desire to rule the world or control people. I have a desire to do projects with small groups of people, and I can be kind of pushy with getting what has to be done, but I don't care about me. You know, I care about the project a lot more than I care about, like, you must recognize that I did this. I mean, I've really been enjoying listening to the Freedom Fiends, even though I'm not on it, just the fact that it's still going and sounds good, you know, guiding it a little bit from behind the scenes and herding the hamsters, I'm fine with that. So I'm not a narcissist. I also want to be left alone. Narcissists want to be inserted into the world. All right.
Yeah.
What's next? Similarities.
All right. Yeah. So we're going through the similarities between the two first, and I really didn't get very far, so we'll just start. So it's like, although a lot of these things actually do seem to be kind of redundant to me, but anyway, lack of empathy, difficulty understanding others' feelings, eccentric personality, harsh interpersonal communication, inability to view the world from the perspective of others, lack of demonstrated nonverbal cues, and inability.
All of those are the same part of the same thing, which is basically, and they're for different reasons. With people who are autistic or Asperger's, we don't know how to really interpret. Like, I really often, you know, when someone says something and they go up instead of down at the end, I'm like, are you mad at me? Are you questioning me? You know, or I misread facial cues, things like that. Whereas narcissists, sociopaths don't care about your feelings and will intentionally inflict. You know what narcissists do a lot?
Well, and, no, they don't. They don't care about sometimes
they can get out of you.
Well, actually, one of the things, and I think it actually does say this in the video, is actually narcissists do look for the nonverbal cues because they look for people they can take advantage of.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just gonna say it. I was gonna stop what I was saying because I didn't want to go any. All right. We're gonna get to that later.
It's really common in my experience for narcissists to test people with little tiny tests. Like, I was watching the show Halt and Catch Fire tonight, and basically most of the programmers in that are classic Aspies, and most of the CEOs, especially Joe in that, are classic narcissists. And, you know, at one point, like, there's kind of a question at some point of whether Joe, the narcissist, is gay or straight, and one of someone that has refused to work with him, then come back to him and refused to work with him, and then said, "You walked all over me," and then come back, like, is back with him. And that's another thing. Narcissists, like, tend to have intense relationships with people that mean nothing to them, that are almost like marriages to other people. I was like that with Tony Fagg, the drummer in Bomb, whose real name is Tony Short. Like, he was like my older brother, and I cared way too much about what he thought, and he liked to see me squirm as a way of controlling me. And I will never do that with anybody again. Like, I won't even return his emails. He writes me every year, like, "Hey, dude, let's talk." I'm like, nope. But Joe did something, and I knew this character. Like, I knew he was testing the guy. Like, you know, the guy was like, "Hey, so did you and Bob ever, you know?" And he's like, "What?" And he's like, "You know." And he's like, "You know, be more than friends?" And he's like, "Oh, no, I never thought of him that way. But, you know, he reminds me a lot of you." And I immediately realized, like, that was Joe messing with the guy. And the guy's like, "What? No." He's like, "I'm just messing with you." Like, they do things like that to poke you, see what they can get away with, find out where your, you know, where your exhaust port is, where they can shoot the womp rat in you when they need to keep your friends close and your enemies closer. You know, actually, a friend of mine recently, a guy on Facebook that I know, met Tony Fagg, and he's like, "Yeah, I met your old drummer. He was staying in Texas, and I met him, and you know, he came over to my house, and he picked up this little pistol he had, like a replica, like a pellet gun that looked like a real gun." And I said, "I'll bet he asked you for it." And he said, "How'd you know?" He said, "Can I borrow it?" And he borrowed it for like a month and gave it back to me before he left town. And I said, "'Cause he does that. He asks people to do things for him that he doesn't really care about, just to see if they'll do it." You know, that's typical narcissist behavior.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to this. We still haven't got through the similarities yet.
Narcissists are also, Aspies also seem like they don't care about people, but they do care about people.
Yeah,
it's just hard for them to interface the way people generally, happy, shiny people, interface. Narcissists, that's Aspies. Narcissists do not care whether you live or die, except to the extent that you can amuse them or do things for them.
Or, yeah, so be of use to them, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they tend to learn human traits imitating real humans or nice humans or normal humans as a way of getting what they want, whereas Aspies kind of know they don't fit in, but there's a thing in Aspies where it's called the actor. Like, you kind of mentioned it, where you, like, you have to kind of, like, study and, like, look at YouTube videos to figure out what human cues are, so you can not, and you don't do it to mess people over, you do it so you don't scare people and drive them away.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so go on.
So, yeah, so back to this list. So, yeah, the lack of interest in others, lack of psychological awareness, what you mentioned earlier, the narrow range of interest and activities, obvious
intense narrow range of activities.
Obvious self-focus in interpersonal exchanges, preoccupation with their own agenda, problems in sustaining satisfying relationships. I'm chuckling at all these because I'm like, yeah, I've seen this all before. Self-centeredness.
You know, you want a really good example of when I should have known I was autistic? When I was making the Selby movie, and Jared Leto agreed to be interviewed for it, because he was in Last Exit to Brooklyn, and Selby was on the set, and he met him and, like, got coached by him as well as by, you know, not Uli Adele, it's the other guy. The guy that did Pie, Darren Aronofsky. And so his, you know, finally went back and forth, his people to my people is me, his people is his people. Took about 2 weeks. They finally said, yes, he'd really like to be in this movie. And she said, there's two things you can do. You can either fax me, and she said, actually fax, not email. She said, you can fax me the questions now. He's doing a junket where he's doing a bunch of interviews for the Alexander movie he's in. Was it Alexander? It's one of those, like, really fruity.
I don't know.
Swords and, yeah, I think it was Alexander, or maybe the other one. And he's doing a junket for that. So we have him sitting in front of a camera today with a microphone. If you fax me the questions, I will ask him the questions, and we'll send you a tape within a few days. Or sometime next week, you could come down to the office and meet him and hang out and interview him yourself with your camera. And, like, everyone I knew in Hollywood was trying to, like, network and meet people. And, like, they would have been like, oh, God, I want to meet him. Absolutely. Let's do that. And I was like, I need this piece of data on my hard drive. I'm faxing the questions now. I never met him. You know, I want, it's all about the project. The project is the driving force. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So, I forgot where we were. I left off with self-centeredness, similar eye-to-eye gaze, body stance, and facial expressions. Tendency to react to social problems and stress with depression and
hang on, slow down. So the thing about like not being good with cues is one reason why people who are Aspies love the internet. Like a lot of my friends I've never met you in person. I'd love to, but I will someday. But I consider you one of my close friends. We've never met, but like facial cues aren't a problem. Yeah. And I've screamed at you. You've screamed at me. We screamed back, and we're still friends.
Oh, yeah, no.
I fired you. I brought you back.
This is true.
You have tenure now. and the other thing I was going to say is, we were joking during the break about, I was talking about, yeah, do you still talk to so-and-so? And you're like, well, I do podcasts once in a while. And I was like, yeah, that's why we do podcasts, I think, because in these busy times, that's how we have time to talk to our friends. You know, we record it and share it with people. Yeah. And I think that's an OSPE thing. I don't think that guy's an OSPE, but
everybody I do shows with these days is pretty much the only time I talk to him. So yeah.
Yeah. That guy's an ADHD, which could be another video. OSPE, ADHD, or sociopath, or narcissist.
ADD, not ADHD.
Oh, I forget how many analogs and how many digitals we got going in this. I don't know. All right. Those are two things that I don't know the difference of, and I thought I had before, because when I was a kid, like, the word autism, I didn't hear it till I was like 30. I mean, it wasn't like on everyone's lips like it is now, and especially not Aspergerianism. They diagnosed me.
Hey, that's my word.
The shrink diagnosed me as hyperactive. That's the term they had then, and this was probably 3 or 4 years before they started. I graduated before they started drugging kids for that kind of behavior. So I'm lucky.
Yeah, in large part, I think that's. I mean, when it comes to the ADD and ADHD, I think that's part of the whole argument against it, is that that's a lot of those kids. They're just boys.
See, yeah, there was Phil said something. Phil was talking about that on the Fiends one time. It was great. He said like someone was reading like a list of the symptoms that will get your school to put your kid on drugs now, and you know, one of them was like, you know, constant activity. And Phil said, in other words, fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even somebody like my poor, one of my girls would probably get nailed with that if she was stuck in one of those places, because she can't stop moving. She
yeah. I couldn't stop moving as a kid.
It's not like restless leg, but her feet literally just don't stop moving. She's always tapping them or doing something. Nice. You know, when she's sitting still.
I'm doing that right now. I'm literally doing that. I'm trying not to do it to where the mic's going to pick it up, actually, consciously. But, yeah. You know, yeah. Yeah.
Give me one. I don't do it all the time. I still do it from time to time. I used to do it a lot more when I was younger.
Basically, I never stopped moving as a kid or as a teenager or as a young adult. And then at, like, age 30, I discovered computers, and I sat down in a chair, and I never got out of it until 4 days ago. That's what happened. And I slowly got sicker. When you stop moving, you stop being fit, and your lymph system slows down, and, you know, eventually you die. I mean, that's what people die of a lot of times. Like, no matter what else it is, they die of just being sedentary.
Eventually everybody dies, Michael.
Yeah, but it's really like, you know, I was like, nothing wrong. You know, like, you don't have to go out and join a gym and do tennis. You just have to, like, walk around and move your arms and things. That's a lot better than just not doing that.
That's why I got away being a lazy, hothead video game addict. Like, walk a dog for a living.
Yeah. That's how you stay fit.
Exactly. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Yeah.
redemption in the third act. Kind of like the next 100 years of Gary Newman's life will be. And next 100 years of mine. My dad turned 96 the other day. He can still walk and dress himself. He's still kind of bright, kind of like, you know, he knows you're there and he can talk back when complete sentences. I mean, a lot of it's awesome. About like things that happened in the 30s, but you know, it's still cool. I mean, as if, you know, when I'm 96, I'm not going to be telling about things that happened in the 80s still. All right. So gives me hope. So we're talking about the difference between autism / Aspergerism, which we have, and narcissistic personality disorder, which evil people have. So go on. What are the similarities more?
Well, I think we actually got through the similarities. The
differences. What's your differences? Yeah. I've injected some differences too, interjected, but go on.
Oh, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to find the differences now, because it's going to be...
Well, off the top of your head, let's discuss.
Well, you already hit them. Like, you know, one of the big ones is that, you know, the Aspie, as they put it in the video, actually does want a happy life for others. Like, they, you know, it's essentially like they may seem self-centered and, you know, may seem like they're only interested in things that interest them. But it's like, it's kind of like, yeah, I want to be left alone to do my thing, but I kind of have that respect towards others as well. Kind of like a natural libertarian, essentially.
Yeah. Also, know? a lot of Aspergerians tend to do employment that's either artistic or like computer programming kind of stuff, or like intense work where maybe there's other people in the building, but you're in your own little world at your desk. And a lot of them are writers too. I think a lot of writers are Aspie. And a guy said, this guy, Steve, said in my movie, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, that the reason he's a writer is because he says, I like being alone, but I don't like being totally alone. Like, I, you know, writing allows me to be alone a lot of the time, but communicate with people. And so, and I think, you know, I don't know if he's an Aspie, but I think that's a common thing with Aspies is, I mean, that's why writers always have cats too, because when you have cats, you can be alone, but not be alone. That's why Hemingway had six-toed cats that are still around, or their offspring are.
Yeah.
Hemingway was probably more of a narcissist.
From what I remember about him, yes, that sounds more likely.
Or maybe maybe just a type A personality, but, you know, he definitely cared about people in his life, but probably also irked them a lot. I think he's just a drunk, smart drunk, like guns, like Kurt Cobain. All right, go on. Too soon?
No.
You know, the difference, though, between them two, I mean, they're both dead from their own shotgun, allegedly, their own shotgun, but the shotgun that Hemingway killed himself with, which was a double-barreled 10-gauge shotgun, and he used both barrels, which probably literally took his head off, which is 10-gauge is bigger than 12-gauge, was a $1,500 weapon that he'd purchased at Abercrombie & Fitch. The gun that Kurt Cobain killed himself with was a $75 pawn shop 20-gauge shotgun, which, you know, it'll kill you dead too, but probably not as efficiently, and he might have blinked for a few minutes. You know, we're going to talk about that Leary movie at one point. There's a couple things in that Leary movie I want to say, though, tonight. One is that I really like the thing they talk about how, like, possibly the most enlightened point in a person's life is the 10 or 15 minutes after their heart stops beating and before their brain's gone.
Yeah.
I like that. It sounded deep. That's why I'm not an organ donor, because that's when they harvest your organs, and I don't like that idea. If I'm dead, no brain activity, I've told my wife, it's fine, you know, harvest my organs, but I do not want to be on a ventilator having them cut me open. It's creepy. It's vampiristic. I mean, they do it that way because they have a better chance of a successful transplant because, you know, the organs don't start to die then, but I just imagine you could feel
fresh
it.
Fresh as fresh can be. It.
Yeah. But the other thing I liked in that movie that I forgot to say the other night was I was talking about how Baba Ram Dass is gay. The last line in that movie is Baba Ram Dass leaning over to Leary, trying to kiss Leary on the lips. Yeah. And Leary going, okay, cut, and making like the cut symbol with his hands. I thought it was funny. Like he's basically saying, all right, I love you, but no homo, brother. We'll talk about that on another show, because I want to do shows again. come back to the Oshoshis. Maybe not, you know, maybe one a week even, but that's more than I do.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back.
Yep. Shane, hope you're good. Hugo's good. Hugo Fiend down in Mexico City. Knight Fiend, Nima's brother, is good down in Houston. Talk to him today.
Yeah.
Fiend report.
Luckily, all the fiends in the way of these storms have been lucky so far. There's another one brewing, but
I don't know.
Worms.